Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated today. Thank you for standing in honor of the word of the Lord. I heard a story. I have a dear friend, mutual friend of me and Brother Epley, Brother Steve McMullen. And he just sort of told a little story. I wasn't even at the conference, but a friend of mine told a little illustration that he just used in a testimony. And you see, his testimony stuff is sermon stuff for me. Hallelujah. I'm just, you know, the little junior boy here. Amen. The junior elder. Hallelujah. And Elder McMullen told the story. And he began to talk about not long ago, several years ago, but a up-and-coming country artist was being interviewed on the Grand Ole Opry. And he was being interviewed by the legendary Ernest Tubb. And during the course of his interview, the young man rambled on and on and on about his rather short-lived fame. He was very proud of where he had come. And after several minutes of this jargon and this bragging, the legendary man that he was, Ernest Tubb, interrupted this young man, and he told him this. He said, I tell you what, son, he said, why don't you just sing the song that got you here? Amen. That's a good way to put it. And, you know, I thought about the world that we live in today. There is a whole lot of talk in the world of religion, and a lot of it is a lot of jargon. A lot of it is a lot of man's theologies and man's ideologies. Amen. And but I submit to you that what the world needs is an old-fashioned apostolic Pentecostal Jesus name church that will just sing the song that got us here. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, normally I announce the title, but I'm just going to tell you, that's what I come to preach today. I want to preach on singing the song that got us here. Praise God. And we read together in our text today from that book of beginnings, that book of Genesis. And though it is somewhat vague, it lets us to know that there had to be an animal killed and in order for skins to be made to cover Adam and Eve. And this premise is even followed and further illustrated in the third chapter of the book of Genesis. And four chapters later, you find in Genesis 4 and 3, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. I'm telling you that in this passage, God doesn't wait very long to reassure and reiterate to his humanity that it is going to take a blood sacrifice to atone for sin. I remember some years ago, my pastor is Brother Tim Copeland, and I was youth pastor there for 2 years, and we had an evangelist come through, and he was quite an evangelist, quite a preacher. He's quite a pastor now. But this young man came and he preached this message, and he said, well, that he didn't think it was the blood sacrifice, that he thought it was Cain's attitude. And that's the first time I ever seen, and the last time I ever seen, Brother Copeland correct somebody, but he did. Amen. And he asked me, he said, Elder, what did you think? I said, I think you was wrong. I'm real serious and I'm real plain spoken too. Amen. I tell folks, don't ask me what you want. Don't ask me my opinion unless you want to know it. Amen. I done got down there among them Cajuns and it just flows. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you that it had nothing to do. It might have had a little to do with Cain's attitude, but that wasn't anything that the matter was dealing with. It was dealing with, I set a precedence when I killed an animal for your mom and daddy. And you got to follow the plan. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And so you got to understand, son, you've got to get rid of your attitude and just do it right. And if you'll do it right, amen, it'll work. Well, somebody said amen. And so from the very beginning of time, from the very, if you will, the very first stanza that God writes in His book, He immediately comes out of creation and immediately He begins to write about blood. He immediately begins to write about, amen, redemption. It's not some plan that if this don't work out, I'm going to have Calvary. No, 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 no. All from the beginning of time, from before the foundations of the world, God's redemptive story was already in the mind and the plan and the, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, in the timeline of God. Hallelujah. And so God begins, as He writes that first stanza, and He begins to write the song, and so the passage illustrates that. And now that the first stanza has been written, God, I'm going to move on rather quickly, but it's not long until the song moves on, and we find Israel, God's chosen people, has now multiplied from just Adam and Eve and their family, and they are a massive humanity that is living in Egyptian bondage, and they've been there for some 400 plus years, and they've been enslaved to cruel taskmasters, and then they come to the place where they're sick of their slavery, and they're sick of being in bondage, and they're sick of working for somebody else and not getting paid. Well, talk to me now, and they're, oh, hallelujah, I'm going to help somebody today. Hey, and if God talks to you, I don't know you from Adam's house cat. If he had a house cat. Amen. And so you just better perk your ears up and listen. Amen. I'm telling you that God began to make the plan and the song began to move. And when they begin to desire deliverance, God told Moses at the burning bush, He said, I have heard their cry. In other words, angels, get your pen out. I'm fixing to write the second stanza to this old song. Amen. Get your pen out and listen. And I'm fixing to write another song. And God gives them a plan. And God begins to write another stanza. And He said, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take every one of them, every man a lamb, according to the house of his fathers, a lamb for his house. You know the rest of the story. It's just Sunday school stuff. But the rest of the story says, you kill that lamb and you rub that blood upon the doorpost, on the side post, and on the top post of your door. And when I see the blood, I will pass. I will pass over you. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, yes, yes. You see, judgment was coming. The death angel was coming. But God said, hey, you're down in Goshen. Everywhere else in Egypt, there's going to be a cry. But oh, I'm going to write the verse. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over thee. Will somebody shout hallelujah? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. And as the narrative of Scripture goes on, we find that these same children of Israel, on their wilderness journey to the Canaan land, and then that master songwriter of the universe, he begins to take out the pen, and he begins to pen another verse. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm just going to tell you that I love that old song. It gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. I'm going to tell you, when I read the story, it just gets sweeter to me. When I read the song, it just gets sweeter to me. The words just get prettier, and they get a little more descriptive, and they get a little more emotionally involved in my spirit. Me and my dad, as a young boy, we used to go down to this place in Perry, Georgia, and my dad was a home missions pastor at the time, and he worked at this place, and Brother Epley, being the historian, church historian that he is, it's called Christ sanctified, holy church. And they don't have a lot of churches in the United States anymore. But my dad worked at a nursing home that they had, a personal care home for their elderly saints, would move from all over the country and move to Perry, Georgia. And there they had their national campgrounds. And they would have a camp meeting every year. And though they did not have truth, there was something about them. There was some of them that I felt like was very hungry for truth. So they invited my dad to their camp meeting, and being friends with them, we went to their camp meeting. Now that's different. Amen. They sort of like Church of Christ. They didn't have no music. And they had a big old tabernacle of Prophecy 2000, and it was unique to me. It was neat to me. They would come and as they would pray, they'd be praying, and the way they started church was somebody would just step up and begin to sing the song, and they all had their song books, and they had stacks of them behind this banister, and it was a wooden platform, and they would take their song books, and there was one old lady in particular that was sort of the ringleader of the song leaders, and she would walk to that platform, and she'd pick her up a book, and she'd start singing a song. And then when she'd start singing, there was others that just begin to file out of the auditorium, out of the audience, and begin to file up. There'd be 300 or 400 on that platform. And they might just start singing a slow song. I cannot find the way without thee. They didn't have no drums. They didn't have no piano, no organ, nothing, no guitars, but they'd just start singing. And it didn't matter how slow it was, they would clap on the offbeat and stomp on the onbeat. Amen. And they'd say, I need thee, oh, I need thee. And that platform would begin to ring with feet stomping on that old wooden floor. But I'm going to tell you, there was something about it. I'm going somewhere. But there was something about their song that as they begin to sing a little more, Brother Epley, it seemed like even if they started out just the perfect beat, or maybe it was a little slow for us as Pentecostals, but they might get to singing out on the old account was settled long ago. And they'd get to singing it. And they'd sing long ago, long ago. The old account was settled long ago. For my record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. And the old account was settled long ago. But I'm telling you, it seemed like every verse they went to, it just got a little faster and a little faster. It just began to pick up steam. And next thing you know, they didn't know nothing really about the Holy Ghost. They didn't talk in tongues. But I would watch those people as they were searching for what I had. And they would get excited. And when they'd get excited, they'd go over and they'd grab one another by the hand. That's about as wild as they got. And they'd start jumping up and down. Sometimes they'd even jump around in a circle holding hands. And I thought, man, if they really knew what they were singing about. It's just getting a little sweeter every time they sing it. But if they really knew the blood giver, if they really knew the Holy Ghost would hit them. And they could huck a buck a little bit instead of just jumping around in a circle. They could run the aisles and Well, I told you all that to say this to me. Hey, man, every time God begins to write about redemption story, it just gets a little faster. And the emotion gets a little stronger. And the power gets a little stronger. Amen. Well, somebody said hallelujah. So all of a sudden, amen, God begins to write, amen, that third stanza. And he begins to give the law and the tabernacle in the wilderness. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here today, because I'm going to tell you, you've got a gentleman and a scholar as a pastor. And this man could preach about the tabernacle. And I remember, I'm just a junior elder. Amen. I ain't been preaching for 20 years. I know it ain't going to show. But amen. But I'm just telling you, the elder can do it. But I do want to mention a few things about it today. And now that's where the song really starts getting beautiful to me. Because God really begins to get the brush out. And if you will, there's songs that just are songs and they say words, but then there's songs that paint pictures. And this is where God evidently gets some angels and he says, listen, I want you to write. But another angel, I want you to go over here and start painting what I'm talking about. Well, I'm going to prove it to you, because all of a sudden it begins to get beautiful, because he lays out what sacrifice cleanses from this sin and what sacrifice cleanses from that sin. A bull, a goat, a turtle dove. Amen. It might be a lamb. It might be an ox. It might
lays it all out. And what does this? And what does that? And what you bring for this? And what you bring for that? And he begins to paint that picture of what the song is all about. When he gets off of them sacrifices and he gets to the tabernacle itself, then he really, really begins to tell us about redemption. At that point, hallelujah, because as you well know, to the sojourner and the stranger, even to those in Israel that really didn't understand, as Elder Dallas Mefford preaches, amen, about viewing the Old Testament through the prism of Calvary. What a message. Because they really didn't realize what was going on. But you and I have the prism of Calvary to look back through. Amen. If you think we see through a glass darkly, brother, they couldn't see through the glass at all. Amen. But brother, there's something about it when it begins to really write. And if you was to top that mountain and look down a panoramic view, amen, a topical view of the tabernacle, he already laid it out. It was laid out in the shape of the cross. What was he saying? Hey, if you think it's good, you don't know nothing yet. If the song is getting good, you don't know nothing yet. Now the song starts getting clearer. Now the song begins, amen, the muddy waters begin to dissipate, and everything begins to become clear in our view. But allow me, amen, to spring forward in a verse that I really came to preach about. I really came to sing about today, if you will. When you view those outer courts and you find those white linen curtains all around contrasted against those brown desert sand. And if you follow those curtains around long enough, it don't matter from what direction you came, if you followed them around that tabernacle, you would come to what was called the gates. Amen. One of them was blue. What, it was the color of the heavens. One of them was purple. That described to his royalty and his majesty. But oh, thank God, one of them was scarlet. And it was talking about the color of the sacrificial blood. Jesus was saying, hey, he was fulfilling scripture. There ain't but one door. There ain't but one way in. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. If any man come up any other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Oh, it's like the Sunday school song. It's so wide, so tall, you can't go over it. So low, you can't go under it. So wide, you can't go around it. But you must come in at the door. God said you can't get in nowhere else. But if you'll come through the door, if you'll come through the scarlet thread of deliverance. Hallelujah. So there was only one way in. You see, all of those beautiful linen curtains, they were hung on 60 pillars of shittim wood. Amen. Those curtains and those gates was hung upon those 60 pillars of shittim wood. Each of them were connected together by rods, or what was called fillets of silver. We know that silver always represents redemption and atonement. And so understand that on 60 pillars, there was what we would call a curtain rod. Amen. A dowel rod. It was made out of silver. Amen. And God's righteousness, which was his purity of the white linen curtains. They couldn't be pure without blood. They had to hang on the blood. Hallelujah. Everything, even at the gate, brother, what made it the color of the heavens and royalty and the sacrificial blood, the blue, the purple, and the scarlet, was because it was going to be redemption. Everything hangs on redemption. Understand, the whole tabernacle hung on redemption. If redemption didn't hold it up, everything would fall down. If redemption didn't stabilize the pillars, everything would fall down. You've got to have the blood of Jesus. Well, somebody said hallelujah. You see, what makes this verse in his song so beautiful to me is if you look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the giving of the law of Moses, amen, in that wilderness until the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem's manger, there were 60 men. Are you hearing me? It was 60 men from the giving of the law to the birth of the Redeemer. Amen. 60 pillars. Hallelujah. And all of them had faith in the atonement that was made by the blood. The only way that it went from generation to generation all the way to Jesus Christ is because somebody said, I have faith in the atonement of the blood. feeling a little more like preaching. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. And so down through, amen, time, it was those pillars. Amen, it was those pillars. Amen, that connected us from generation to generation to generation. Hallelujah. We could preach all about the verses written by what we classify as messianic prophets. Amen, those prophets, that they were full of prophesying about the Messiah that was to come. But the whole Old Testament is leading us to that wonderful day when the most beautiful verse, amen, that brought the entire song meaning would be penned. The song would have no meaning without this verse. The song would have no meaning. All of the Old Testament and all the types and the shadows would have no meaning. Oh, but as the bishop, amen, that had been in prayer for several days, as G.T. Haywood stepped to his pulpit out of a red hot prayer meeting and said, on Calvary's hill of sorrow, where sins demands were paid, and a ray of hope for tomorrow. Woo, what are you talking about? My future secure. Across our paths were laid. I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Woo. Its waves which reach the throne of God, they are sweeping over me. Oh, what are you talking about? I'm talking about generations later. It didn't just come to Jesus Christ, but the blood still flows today. Redemption still flows today. The billows of the blood are rolling over Racine Apostolic Church today. Well, somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. I'm just going to tell you. I'm just going to tell you, we're singing the song that got us here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was those 400 years of silence. It meant that the heavens were shut up to the earth. But here comes a man. A man that walks out like a wild man. And he says, hey, I'm the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He's one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Brother, all they got is this old traditional religion. It's everything dead and dry. And all the old prophets is dead. And by the time those 400 years of silence, we just look, amen, from the last page of the Old Testament to the first page of the New Testament. It's just a flip of a page. But understand, 400 years of silence has passed by. Nobody's heard a word from God. And all of a sudden, this wild man comes out of the wilderness and said, except you repent, you'll die in your sins. There's one coming mightier than I, whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to unloose. But he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Brother, he's coming with a message. What is he talking about? He's singing the song that got us here. He's singing the song that's going to take us where we're going. The most gruesome, but the most beautiful pages of history was all summed up in, and they crucified him. All of the suffering, all of the pain. I don't have time today, but if you read the medical doctor's description of what transpired, man, during all of this crucifixion, and you read what it medically done to the body, you would understand that there's a whole lot. I preached a message one time just on, and they crucified him. They saw all the agony and all the pain and all the sorrow and all the sacrifice up with. And so they crucified him. But I'm telling you, the most beautiful words ever written was, and so they crucified him. Why? Because if it had not been for a place called Mount Calvary, if it had not been, thank you, brother, for the old rugged cross, if it had not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Woo! I'm talking about the song, singing the song that got us here. Woo! Somebody clap your hands and shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, but that wasn't the whole story. Because they crucified him. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. Whew. But as I taught a choir one time, old song, y'all just have to forgive me. I know I sung slow this morning. I don't know what we'd do tonight. Amen. But I don't know where it was, but there's a black boy trapped up in here somewhere. Amen. I'm telling you, he is. I'm telling you. I love pork chops and fried chicken. And, man, I'm telling you. I mean, I know if I was who, amen, some of my family was, I would like lean stuff, you know. Like sushi and with them certain wraps around them. Yeah. But man, I'm telling you, I like pork chops and collard greens. And I don't mean that as a racial slur. I guess I'm just a southerner. But brother, I'm telling you, something up in here that's a soul, brother. So I might sing with a little more soul tonight. We might flip and shout and flop and everything else before we get done tonight. And we might do that before we get done this morning. But can I tell you that none of it would have been nothing. But there was a song that come from big old black choir. And when I was in De Quincy, assistant pastor Cardwell, we had a choir. Well, I guess we had about 45, 50 in our choir. And brother, one Easter Sunday morning, we sung "He Got Up." All power in his hand. You see, Calvary would be useless if he just died and they put him in a borrowed tomb. But while the story continues and where the soul gets even prettier as it goes. Heaven, I know that's the climax, if you will. That's the apex. Is Calvary's hill of sorrow. But brother, it wouldn't be nothing downhill from there. Amen. And shoot us all the way to glory if he hadn't got up. But he got up and he said, I got all power in my hand. I got the keys to death. Did that do away with Calvary? No, because when Peter got on Acts 2, he began to preach about you crucified. You crucified this one. Oh, hallelujah. He said, men and brethren, what must we do then? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. What you got to be baptized in the blood giver. Amen. And the one the song is written about. Every stanza has led to Jesus. Come on now. All the prophets were until John. I don't mean there ain't no prophets today. It's talking about messianic prophets. We're until John. Hallelujah. Well, somebody say hallelujah. You can be seated. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. It said to him gave all the prophets a witness. To him. Just look at the corner there. If this is the Old Testament. And to him, all the way to John, all the messianic, all the prophets were to John. But when you got there, you turned the corner. All of them were to him. All the apostles, amen, were from him. Amen. All the apostles and disciples, they were from him. But all the prophets were to him. Brother, you got to understand that you turn the page. It's not ending the song. The song's a long song. Amen. There's a lot of choir songs that you got several. You got a lot of music. You got to flip. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah. That don't mean the song's over. Just because he got up. But he said, no, because I live, you can live also. How am I going to live? Because I'm going to get resurrection power on the inside. You who were dead in trespasses and sin, you has he quickened and made alive. You were dead. Oh, come on. But you've been washed and you've been... That's worse, some of you. But what the song got a hold of you. You heard the song that got us here and the song that's going to take us forward. The song begins to talk about redemption and freedom. Freedom from the bondage of sin. Freedom from the law of sin and death. Freedom from addictions. Freedom from the things that would bind your flesh and hold you back from serving the living God. Freedom. No longer are you just out there looking at the soul, but you become a part of the soul. When you go down in Jesus' name, the song really gets sweet to you because you went down dead, but you came up alive. He quickened you. You went down an old man and you came up a new man. Well, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, Psalms 100 said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all. Not just from the giving of the law to Bethlehem's manger, but endures to all generations. How's it going to endure? It's going to endure because down through the generations of time, it's going to be pillars that raise up. Amen. I heard a man praying this morning. He said, God, make me a better daddy. Make me a better husband. And make me a better pillar in the church. We need pillars that will say, hey, babies, you got to have faith in the blood. In Christ alone will I glory. It's in him I live and move and have my being. It's through the blood. That's the only way you're going to make it. Truth is going to endure from generation to generation only because somebody stands up and said, I'm going to be that one that trusts in the silver rod of redemption. I believe it's important. It's vitally important. Vitally important. I was in a youth camp meeting the other day with several good friends of mine, and we've outgrown our facility, and in Baton Rouge we just outgrown it. It's not gonna work anymore, and the conditions of the building is went down, and so we began to discuss, and we decided that we couldn't find somewhere big enough for a senior camp, so we're just gonna have a junior camp this year, and one of the pastors there, Brother Looper, he told me, he said, we've got to have at least a junior camp this year. He said, because it's vitally important to my church. He said, we have some kids get the Holy Ghost in our local church. He said, but all of our little kids, for the most part, he said, I would say the majority of them has got the Holy Ghost through the years at youth camp. I'm going to tell you that it is vitally important that at an early age, I evangelized for about 5 years total, I'm going to tell you that I was alarmed, Elder, when I'd walk into church and there was teenagers, 15, 16, 17, 18. Now, I understand you're going to have one or two in every church that maybe they haven't responded. They haven't met. Something hadn't connected there. But when I'd walk into church, and brother, there was a number of teenagers that didn't have the Holy Ghost, I was worried. Y'all looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, I got worried. When I'd walk in there and there was a bunch of kids and teenagers that didn't have the Holy Ghost, somebody hadn't done their job. Now, I mean, that could be the parents, it could be the ministry, it could be whatever. But you know, we can say, well, don't trash on the pastor of that church or the parents of that church. Well, the blame falls somewhere. Amen. I wasn't there to tell them. Amen. But Brother Ford, that revival got out. Every night I was pounding how important it was to have the Holy Ghost. I was fishing every way I could fish, brother. I'd start out preaching about how wonderful it was. If I couldn't talk them into it that way, amen, I'd start talking to them another way. And if that didn't work that way, brother, I'd preach hell so hot you could smell sulfur. Amen. I'd get in their face and scream and holler. Amen. Like an Indian, amen, that was going in the middle of war. I didn't care if I had to scare them in the altar. It didn't matter to me. Amen. Brother, I'm telling you, my goal and my mission was to get them kids full of the Holy Ghost before I walked out of there. Because if they don't get it in that city, amen, truth is not going to endure. And truth's got to endure. The song's got to continue. And the only way it flows is through redemption. Somebody said hallelujah. His truth endures to all generations. I'm going to start looking for an airport, amen, to land this Cessna here somewhere, amen. But understand that truth endures. Luke 1:50 said, and his mercy is on them. This is Mary's song when she finds out that she's going to be the mother of Jesus. The, amen. That, that, that
Jesus, that God manifest in flesh, robing himself in a human body. Amen. When she finds out and the angel tells her you've been overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, what's conceived in you is of the Holy Ghost. Mary begins to sing the song, and it's termed in the scripture as Mary's song. And in Mary's song, she ends up her song, amen, along about the 50th verse, and said, his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. In other words, she said, woo, this is just singing the song. This is just continuing the song. Everywhere she went, she was excited. Why? Because the song had started way back there in the middle of the, amen, in the beginning. Amen. And then went over here and got in the tabernacle. Amen. It flowed all the way through. And now she's got that baby in her belly. Amen. And he, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. She didn't know what was coming. But she said it flows from generation to generation. And I'm happy that he let me be a pillar along the way. Amen. You can read over and over. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear, or see it in fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all year. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Hallelujah. You see, there's a lot of churches. There's a lot of churches. I read an article. Hey, man, somebody had told me about it. I went and searched it out. I believe it was probably 8 or 9 years ago. I believe it was in Charisma magazine that was talking about churches removing references to the blood out of their songbooks. I'm just going to tell you, if you ain't got the blood, you ain't got a song. Well, hallelujah. How can you say, they said, we want to have more about blessings and love. And how can you have love if you don't have the blood? The greatest, no greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can't sing about love without singing about Calvary. You can't sing about love without singing about the blood. You can't sing about blessing without singing about redemption. The greatest blessing we ever had was because of redemption. Hallelujah. Oh, don't ever take out of my songbook. And Elder Jackson, Tommy Jackson, did such a marvelous job several years ago at conference and here at the camp meeting, and when he got to singing about power in the blood. Oh, amen. You know, I sing some more modern songs, and I don't sing none of that. I'm not into that new stuff that they do, that integrity and all. I ain't into none of that. Personally, now, you know, if you want to do it, do whatever. I can go all the way from bluegrass to black gospel to whatever. It don't matter to me, but it ain't going to be at my church that I pastor. But man, I'm going to tell you about Hush here. I may be singing along some newer course, but almost every service I'm going to pull There's Power in the Blood. I'm going to pull Mercy There Was Great and Grace Was Free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Hallelujah. Oh, I made full. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood saved me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died upon a cross. And I know it was the blood saved me. Come on now. Near the cross be my glory ever. Hallelujah. I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I'm going to cling to that old rugged cross and exchange it one day for a crown, brother. You can take whatever you want to take, but don't try to take that out of my book. Amen. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I'll fight harder than that one than I will for the Second Amendment. Amen. You hear me? You think I'll fight about my guns? Well, hallelujah. Somebody put something on the internet the other day, something about guns, and I said, well, they can have mine. Amen. They'll get the shells first, and if they can catch all them, they can have my guns. Amen. When they get through catching shells, then they can have my gun. Amen. And I'll probably run out before they will. So they'll get it. But they're going to get a lot with it. Amen. Oh, y'all think I'm playing. I ain't playing. I'm serious as a heart attack. I done told my wife. I said, now y'all can walk out there and put your hands up if you want to. Amen. I said, you better give them to them while I'm gone. I said, because I'm just telling you. Darren's going to go down fighting. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Well, I guess I got a few men up in here. Amen. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. But brother, you go to trying to take all them songs out of my songbook. I may be a big old boy, but brother, I'm going to go down kicking. I can guarantee you that. You're going to know you've been in a fight. Oh, no, no, no. You ain't taking that out of my book. Because if it wasn't for the blood, if it wasn't for Calvary, my soul would be lost and on the way to a burning hell. Lastly today is, Brother McMullen does say, come give them some hope, sister. Amen. Come to the music and give them some hope. Amen. I don't know you, but you may be here today and find yourself in this scripture. Psalms 137 verse 1 said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hang our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof, for they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing unto us one of the songs of Zion. They said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I want to tell you today, if you find yourself in that verse, you've lost your song. Your song's waiting at the altar where you left it. Where you first discovered it. Your song's still there. The amazing thing about this is they hung their hearts upon the willows, not upon the towering oak tree or even the pine or the redwood. But brother, the willow tree. Its branches hung down. It was within arm's reach. The devil tells so many backsliders that you can't never get back. It's just, you're too far away, and really all they are is just a Jesus. They're just a Jesus. Just a walk to the altar, and that's all it is. And the deal is, if you'll take the first step, it's all over from there. You know, as I've got older, I'll go somewhere and they got a roller coaster, and my kids, you know, they're just hitting that. They're just coming out of their shy stage. I said, Daddy, get on this roller coaster with us. Whew. Now I used to ride them. I'd put my hands up. I remember one time the way I got to riding roller coasters was I was dating this girl, and she was a little old bitty skinny beanpole, probably the skinniest girl I ever dated. And, I mean, she was tiny. And her name was Dana, and she said, get on this roller coaster, the Mind Bender. Well, I'd already got on the Scream Machine with her. It was a wooden roller coaster with none of them loops. She said, get on this Mind Bender with me. And I said, I don't know. That's for people with bent minds. She said, oh, come on. She said, don't be no wimp. I looked at that little skinny thing. I was like, who you calling a wimp? She said, you, if you don't get on that roller coaster. I said, man. So I got on there, and I know we wasn't supposed to do this. I know we wasn't. But she made me do it. She said, we got to the top of that hill and I was on the front car. And I looked down that hill. Man, I thought we was on the top of the Empire State Building to me. And I was looking down and I thought, my God, why did I do this? I can get another girlfriend. Why did I do this? I'm fixing to die. And she reached over now. She wasn't real forward, trust me. But she said, put your hands up. I said, what? She said, hold your hands up. I said, and go through that. She said, yeah, you done got it up. She grabbed my other one and held it up. And brother, there we went, woo. And I said, woo. Man, I didn't know what in the world. I said, my God. From then on out, I held my hands up in roller coasters until I got fat. And here a while back, I went on vacation. My daughter said, "Daddy, get on this roller coaster with us. Come on, Daddy." I said, "Baby, I think I'm over the weight limit." "Hey, look at that big old fat man right there. He's on there. You can get on there." My baby daughter has a way with words, you know. And I said, "Well, okay. Brother, I got on that roller coaster. We went up that first hill. I said, what in the world did I do this? I'm grown. I ain't got to prove nothing to that brat." But you know what? When I went down that first hill, I said, "Man, I'm glad I got on that. That's fun like I remember as a kid." I felt like a teenager again when I got off there, except my head was spinning and my heart was palpitating. What are you talking about? I'm going to tell you, it's just like that with some folks when they think of coming back to God. Man, come on. Come on, get your hands up. Just get your hands up and enjoy the ride. Living for God is the best thing that ever happened to you. If it wasn't so good, you wouldn't cry at night when you remember Zion. You wouldn't, when you came to a funeral service like Elder Cotton had, man, they were shouting and dancing and running and worshiping. And man, I saw backsliders weeping all over the house. They're remembering their song. They said, "Oh man, you can get it back." That's the devil lying to you. You can get it back. It's just, all you got to do is reach up there. It's right there. If you stand with me, let me tell you one more thing. I've heard it many a time. I've heard it several times over the years. When I was assisting Brother A.L. Lyle in Generette, Louisiana, there was a girl, her parents were pillars in the church. Old Liz went out into the world. She did everything she was big enough to do, and a lot of things she wasn't big enough to do, Elder. I heard her say one time, "I never dreamed I would have done the things I've done. I never would have dreamed I'd have got so far away." But here was her testimony. You pardon me, sometimes I don't know. But I watched Liz as she prayed through not long after I had went to Generette. It wasn't after the preaching. It was after about the third song. I watched her break. I watched her run for the altar. Nobody preached a word. But Elder, you've been there and preached for Brother Lyles. You know that old red Gibson guitar he plays. She had been out of church for some 18 years. She had not darkened the doors except for funerals and Mother's Day and Father's Day. She said, but her testimony was that night, she said, "I've run from God." She said, "But when I came in those doors," she said, "I came in those doors and I looked up on that platform and they began to sing." She said, "I was all right till Brother Lyles walked over there and got that old guitar and strapped it on and started singing, 'Shackled by a heavy burden, beneath a load of guilt and shame. But then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I'm no longer the same.'" She said, "When he sung that old song," she said, "I couldn't help but run for that altar." Listen now to the second part of her testimony. She said, "I want to thank the Lord. I want to thank the Lord that when I come back to church 18 years later, that Brother Lyles is still singing the same song. He's still preaching the same message. Come on, the church is not irrelevant. Standards is not irrelevant. Amen. All the things that he preached when I was a girl." Her words was, "He's still singing and preaching the same old song and the same old message." I'm going to tell you, the song's not changed. The message is not changed. You said, "Brother Hush, that's been several years ago." Well, it was just three Sunday nights ago at Ball that a boy came in. I'm going to tell you, I was just on Elder and AMF spirit got on me that night. It was one of them spirits that's going to get on me tomorrow. I'm telling you, I had shotgun out. I brought my 12 and my 20 up here, just one of them, my 12 for a backup gun. But brother, I'm telling you, I pulled both of them out of the case. I pulled the plug out of them. I think I had one of them cylinder barrels, brother. I got to this one scripture, and I got where David said, my heart is fixed. And man, I got fixed right there. Brother, I don't do that but once in a while, but I went on a tangent. Sister Abernathy, if it moved, I shot it. I'm telling you, if somebody did like that, this old girl been hanging out with whoremongers, brother. And I told him, I said, you hang out with whoremongers, you'll become a whoremonger. Why I got on that, I worked the lesbians and the homosexuals. I worked everything in the book. I worked them tight pants on boys over. I worked them lapel flowers over, brother. We ain't got none of that. I told him, I said, we ain't got none of that here. But I'm going to tell you, don't you start it. I said, you come up in here, I'll stand you up and I'll rebuke you before all and make you go home and change clothes. Man, I was just crazy. I mean, I was just, my wife was sitting over there. She was calling on my mercy or something. I don't know what she was calling, but all pastors' wives do that. And man, she was just, she, hey man, I remember my mama saying, will we even have any left when we come back the next service? And there was an old boy there. He had been Elder Bayham's church growing up. He had moved with a job, and it wasn't church worth a flip where he went. He went to this little church. And that night, he had been going to the big church in Alexandria by me, and he came that night, and of all nights, brother, Cush went nuts. He came crying to the altar, fell in the altar, and he said, now this is what I remember real church being about. Brother Cush, can I be a part of this church? This is where I want to come to church. Let me tell you something. The old message still works. The song that got us here is the song that's going to take us there. Are you hearing me? Amen. Amen. I commend the elder. Amen. Ever since I've known him, he still preaches same message. You know why? Well, hallelujah. A lot of men by his age have ruined their ministry. You hear me? They've ruined their ministry, but he's remained a man of integrity. He's remained a man that's preached the message, an old-fashioned Jesus-name message. Yeah, it's his anniversary today. He's been here 4 years. Brother and sister, if you'll follow this man, the same song that got you here, he'll keep preaching it, and it'll take you all the way to glory. When we have your funeral, we can shout. He can shake a leg, amen, and preach with confidence because you believe the song that got us here. Oh, I wish somebody lift your hands in this house and begin to thank him for the song that got you here. Come on. Come on. It brought us safe thus far. It's going to lead us on. Come on. This song that got us here, it's redemption song. It's redemption song. Amen. I wouldn't feel right. And I don't know what time it is. And I preached a little longer than I planned to. But, you know, that's all right. You won't have to hear me again for a long time. 11, it's just 11:38. Amen. Amen. I shouldn't eat that Pop-Tart this morning. It'd have been all right. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't feel right to leave this service. The evangelist in me just won't let me do it without giving somebody a chance to pray. Now listen to me real quick. I'll be real fast with you. Sometimes you struggle. Young people, I'm only 39. I look older than that. I know. Pastoring's done it to me. But I'm only 39. But young people, sometimes you're going to struggle. I remember. I got kids your age, okay? I got a 16-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 12-year-old. And I know what they go through. Yeah. I got boys and young ladies. Got a good youth group in my church. But, man, and sometimes you feel like you've lost your song. Can I tell you, don't pass a service like today, not because I'm preaching, but don't pass a service like today. Go up there to the front and get your song back. Say, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in dark, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I may fall down, but I'll get back up again. Get your song back. You know how you keep your song? When somebody takes it, what do? You snatch it back. Don't say, now give me my song back. I said it. You don't do that. What are you girls? Has somebody snatched your purse? Come on, y'all from up here in the mountains. Come on, y'all ain't going to say, and he got my purse. No, I believe some of y'all girls, you say, hey, what are you doing? You put that high heel upside his head if you get it up and high. Hey, brother, you grab that purse, you'll be yanking on. You ain't taking my purse. I'm going to tell you, get the same about your Holy Ghost and about redemption. Give me my, hey, I may have fell down, but cover me in the blood, Jesus. Put redemption's blood on me. Oh, hallelujah. And if you're in this service today and you lost your song, maybe you're away from home. You find yourself in Psalms 137. I can't close this service today, and I don't want to take up no bunch of time without giving you an invitation to come back right where you left your song. Listen, I got better news for you. You ain't got to just grab it by yourself. We'll help you get it. We'll help you get that harp down. Come on now. We'll help you get your fingers situated. And brother, when you strum the first time, people make it hard, brother. But I'm telling you, if you mean it with your heart, you can pray back through just like that right there. Just pow. We've got so in the conservative apostolic churches that if they don't cry a bucket of tears, we don't think they repented. Well, you don't know what they've been doing all night and 3 weeks that they've been agonizing. I got to go back to church. I got to get right with God. Don't worry about all that. If God sees fit to let them talk in tongues, you keep your nose out of it and let them talk in tongues. He's the mercy giver. He's the blood giver. He's the baptizer. Come on now. He's the restorer. Whew, I feel the Holy Ghost in here right now. I want to give you an invitation. I don't know how y'all do it around here. I just got to be hush. I want you to, that first step. Come on now. Just put your hands up. If you're going to ride a roller coaster, ride it right. Hey man, if you're going to get on this ride of life, it'll be the ride of your life. Maybe you ain't ever got on this ride. Man, I'm telling you, it is awesome. And when it comes into port, it's going to be in heaven's eternal gates. Would you make your way to an altar today? As they sing a song, whatever they choose to sing, I can't leave.
We'll have a happy song to sing today.
Hallelujah.
All my burdens have rolled away. Oh.